Hey, beautiful humans. Today's episode sounds like bliss because we're chatting about what matters to me in 2019. Oh, yeah. Say hello to that exhale and to those goosebumps and to that moment of truth or beauty or generosity. Here we will explore struggles and celebrations and devotions. Stuff that life's made of. There will be deep thoughts, interrupted often by belly laughs, because that's also how life works. Some spoken word because, you know, sometimes nothing says it quite like a poem. Conversations with friends, new and old, and soul riffs straight out of my noggin and my heart and into your headphones. I am your host, Tara, and you're listening to Sounds Like Bliss. Welcome. Thank you for joining me for the inception and the introduction to this beautiful being that means so much to me, and that is this podcast, Sounds Like Bliss. Oh, it always happens. I've got the energy in my body and I'm always so grateful. I'm always so grateful for this. So welcome to my sauna. Let me open by saying that I'm sitting in my sauna right now, and no, don't worry, it's not on. No electrical devices will be harmed in the making of this podcast episode. It's at room temperature. I've got some towels down. I'm sitting on the floor facing the back of the sauna. I'm speaking into my mic, looking at my laptop. And this is so nice. I didn't realize this would be kind of like a second bonus to investing in my sauna. You know, I thought that would be just for my health and my radiance and a good night's sleep, but and to help me detoxify from all that flying, of course. But this is a groovy little situation we have here. It's cozy and the sound feels good, and I like how burrowed away I feel. I feel like I'm in a little cave. I have a beautiful fresh cup of cacao right next to me. And before I go on, I might just take a quick sip. Excuse me. Yum. You get to hear all those little drinking noises too. Lucky you. You know, some people, it really freaks them out, huh? When they hear like drinking, eating, etc. I'm not fazed. Hopefully you're not fazed either, because there will be plenty of hot, spicy cacao being drunk in this cave as I send these missives out to you. So today I ummed and ahed about whether I wanted this to be a podcast episode. We're talking about what matters to me in 2019. And the reason that I ummed and ahed is because it sounds like, you know, quite basically just a very self-indulgent topic. And then I remembered that so many of us enjoy behind the scenes insights, and we relish in witnessing another's process just in case it unearths something about ourselves or in ourselves, or maybe there will be something here for you today that will just get you thinking a little bit differently about how you approach a year, how you digest the year that was, how you attune to yourself and check in to yourself and the energy of a new year. I know for me, I always really feel that portal of time as I move into December, where I feel very called to slow down. It often doesn't happen because I'm launching business things around this time, but energetically, I feel really called to slow down and to check things out and to attune to myself and my soul and my relationships and my businesses and come into some more clarity. So typically at around this, you know, in December's of each year, I'm pretty generous with myself with this time. I am in no hurry to bang out goals. I am in no hurry to forget the year that was. I like to be generous with this time of the year because I have come to understand the potency of reflecting and forecasting and feeling the effects. What compounded for me last year that I'm really feeling the effects of now, whether that's positively or negatively? What is really asking for my attention? What is asking for expansion? What's really ready just to slip away? What needs to be sliced away? You know, so there's this process that we all go through in varying degrees and depths. But I'm really interested in exploring that. You know, what unfolded in ways that were magic or effective, or what simply felt really good this year? And I like to start there. What am I just so proud of myself for? What surprised me? You know, because I think often what happens is we can get to the end of the year and we want to address with a fine-tooth comb what didn't work. We want to get to work on patching that up and creating a plan that can help us avoid that the next time around. But I like to start with what unfolded in ways that were beauteous and lovely and that meant a lot to me. Now, every year this happens, every single year, when I get to the end of the year, I say and I think and I feel and I mean it when I say that was the best year of my life. This includes the year where I was incredibly unwell and I lost a baby. I spent 3 months bedbound, debilitated, really. It includes the year that happened. It includes 2018, where I, at 31 years old, became a divorcee, right? It includes this stuff. And I don't say that to bypass any type of pain. And I don't say that to give myself credit. I get to the end of the year and I look back upon it and I feel that was sensational because it was so full of human emotion and experiences that can't be replicated. And it was full of so many moments that required or demanded me to dig into myself and come up with something of me dripping all over my hands, you know, whether that was grief or whether it was ecstasy or whether it was fear or whether it was delight. By the way, you might be able to hear some construction in the background there, but we're just going to roll with this. I am so willing to meet life in the middle of whatever is being created or dished up or offered to me. And I think one of the most powerful things that we can cultivate in our life is the emotional resiliency to open ourselves to the entire spectrum. Truly, it really is. And we'll talk about this a lot on this podcast. We really will. I mean, we can talk about anything. We can talk about conflict resolution, which sounds delightful, I know. We can talk about that moment in time where you decide to open your heart and take in a breath rather than contract. You know, we can talk about that moment in time that can't be described any other way than this very personal example. And you've heard it here first. I will never go into the details that surrounded this experience, but I remember the moment when I ended my marriage, and I ended it with the intention and with the knowing that the most unconditionally loving thing that I could do to honor both of these humans involved and both of these souls, the most loving thing that I could do for the good of all, and not just the two of us, but the planet, was to let the love go. So I feel like when we have this emotional resiliency, when we are dissecting pain in a different way, when we are looking at love as not something that is just attached or entwined with intimacy or physical attachment or hooky love or needy love or I don't know who my identity is if I don't have you love, but when we can expand that conversation out and see the true gifts that pain and despair and loneliness have to offer us. And if we get it, like if we understand that this is necessary and this is what I asked for because I asked for an exceptional life. And if I am living in mediocrity, then all this bullshit will be torn out of my hands because it's what I asked for. Then you can meet life in a way where you can come away from anything. And on December 31, you can say that was a sensational year, you know? So if I'm just riffing off the top of my head, if I think about what really worked well for me in 2018, there are a few things. I honored my soul, which was whispering to me for a long, long time. I did the courageous thing, and on a few occasions I answered her, even when I was afraid and even when I was scared. I found my joy again. I actually know what it is like to embody the vibration of play. I giggled so much this year. I don't even know what happened to me. I was just frothing my face off. There was about 3 or 4 months straight there where I just could not stop laughing. And I actually think that that was very inextricably linked to sexual energy, which we might talk about at some point in the podcast. But I beamed this year. I spent a lot of time with people who brought out the best in me and the most in me. And I really prioritized those folks. I deepened my relationship energetically with my businesses. I called in and bought a beautiful home that truly is a home. That has just been such a gift. I took a lot of time out to honor what I needed, which was just simply time with myself. And I activated my rebellion, my inner rebellion, in such a way that changed a lot of how I digest relationship dynamics. I came to really understand the meaning of boundaries and the importance of them. And I feel as though I exercised them in a very compassionate, self-loving, respectful way to the world. I genuinely, in 2018, just stopped really caring about what people were thinking of me and the way that I do things. And I stopped genuinely caring about what other people were doing and the pace in which they were going. And I came into myself in a way that's difficult to explain. Oh, it was a big one. It was a big one, and it was a beauty. And so after I get clear on, you know, what worked really well, then this is a time I'm very eager to dive into what didn't work so well. I know that deep change doesn't just require fluffy words on mediocre intention. A lot of deep change, it requires attention and planning and stillness and compassion with the self, strategy sometimes, as well as just a heartfelt desire to transform. And so it was Christmas Day. And in 2018, I decided to spend Christmas family free, which again was another thing for me to celebrate, me being in my sovereignty, me being really connected to what I felt I needed after a really big year. Like I said, businesses launched and a marriage separation, and as well as cultivating these new relationships, I did not want to be in the chaos, let's say, of a big family Christmas. But the nostalgia of that time of year, it hit me really hard. And I was on the phone to my mum, and then all of a sudden I started to see very clearly right out in front of me all the ways in which I realized I was not showing up. And the ways in which I was not showing up was particularly evident in my closest community. And I felt this really deeply with my mum. And I remember saying to her, you know, I think that we can do better. And we were both in tears, and it really, really moved me. And it really brought into my mind that, yeah, I'm that gal that when things get really tough and when things are chaotic and when I feel the juggle come on, I can turn towards my work before I turn to the ones I love the most. And so this is something that I feel is top of mind for me in 2019 as I move forward. I didn't set any big goals last year. I certainly created a lot, but you know, my main goal was to be in my life and to find my joy again. And I did, but to find that joy, I needed to do the hardest thing I'd ever done. I simply wanted to launch Rebels of Light into the world and remain receptive to any opportunity that arose. And I did that for the first, like I said before, these first 6 months of, well, for 6 months of the year, I just felt this electricity in my cells. And whilst that was absolutely incredible, it was also very, very, very distracting. I've got to tell you, I found it really difficult last year to sit and produce or to sit and receive, because I was just, you know, after that hardship of the first half of the year, I was just peaking. I was constantly peaking. So I realized I had work to do on my relationships. I realized that I had work to do on entering into a state of work that means something to me, that I can be proud of, that I can be really happy with. So this year, what I am desiring and what matters to me, right up the top of that list, is to have a sovereign relationship with time and technology. I am rewriting my relationship with these two entities, with time and with technology. I am so tired on behalf of us all with how addicted we are to our devices. I'm so sad for us all, you know. It is getting in the way of heartfelt connection, soul-driven creation. There's few things I dislike more than getting to the end of the day and thinking to myself, what the bloody hell happened? Really? Was I just consumed by my day? What happened to time? Where was I? Where was I situated today? What did I allow to gobble me up? Notice not what gobbled me up, but what did I allow myself to be gobbled up by? So transforming these relationships with time and technology is really important to me, and it's rituals that are going to help that unravel really beautifully. So it's coming into a really gorgeous, stunning sequence of practices in the morning, which help me to expand time, which inform me to connect with me first before anyone else's agenda. It's structuring my schedule again. And again, this is something that I revisit every 2 or 3 months. And I know it sounds kind of like vanilla and boring and bland and whatever you want to call it, but to me, this is the foundation of freedom. Is how am I participating with time and technology? Because time and technology are partners, and they are energetic allies of ours. They really are. But the balance of power there has been knocked out. And it's time that we claim our power back over these things. So what does my schedule look like, and how does it support my my expansive state of creation? How does it support my ever-growing intuition? Am I really that much more interested in what may have dropped into my inbox than I am on what's dropping it, trying to drop into my heart in this moment? So join me, my friends, join me in this. I want to design a life that supports epic romance with my muse. And I'm not just talking, I want to feel inspired. I want to feel impassioned by this process of creation. And it's coming back, and I feel it. And, you know, there's no other way. Like, sometimes it just feels like life is making love to you when you see the creative process this way. I've experienced it, and I continue to, and I am committed to cultivating that relationship with inspiration. It's important to me to deepen my connection to my soul and this earth that we live on and my businesses. There are people in this world who are so close to me that remind me of this constantly. Hiro Boga, I'm thinking of you. Vanessa Jean, I'm thinking of you. Mackenzie, I'm thinking of you. And it just brings tears into my eyes knowing that we have this opportunity to collaborate energetically with these allies in this way. We are more, like, our work is more than a to-do list. We are in sacred collaboration here. If we would just slow the fuck down and tune into that, you know, like if we would just create the space in our life where we can enter into reciprocity, and then we can be in awe at the process. Like wide-eyed little children, you know, that is what matters to me this year. I've got this in bold, but ensuring that the people that I hold dear know that they matter to me. My friends, my next tattoo is going to say, love is a verb. And it's a reminder for me to not just be love, and to not just hold the vibration of love, even though that may be enough. It is to put that love into action. It is to spend time with the people I love. It is to express to them that I love them. It is to call them. It is to gift them. I'm doing a personal little project this year called the You Matter to Me project. Feel free to implement that. That project takes up a 1 or 2 hour slot in my calendar every week. And that's where I sit down. I have a look at, you know, whose birthday is coming up, who, you know, who on my team do I need to acknowledge? Who on my team do I need to gift? How are my parents doing? How's my team doing? And it's just an opportunity for me to drop into someone's life and remind them, hey, I see you and I love you and I'm still here. One too many times this last year, I heard people try and get in touch with me and say, hey, I know you're busy, but just in case you have 2 minutes, I would love to chat with you about something. And that kind of hurt my heart a little bit to think that I had set up those relationships in that way. What matters to me this year is thriving whilst traveling. I'm getting better at this, but I am certainly, I've got a long way to go. I travel so much. I think I have an international flight booked, well, planned for every month of 2019. And so it's really important to me that I, again, embrace preparedness and honor this body that is being hurtled through space, whose nervous system is being put under stress through travel and events and crowds and sort of being knocked out of that routine. But I am committed to doing all those things. I am committed to living a life of travel because I know that that's what my soul wants. I know that my soul signed up for that. She's a seeker. She wants to get her hand in all different kinds of sands, colored sands, textured sands. She wants to dive into oceans and climb mountains and get the red dirt all over her and I'm committed to doing that. I'm committed to being present in the events that I need to be at so that I can bring information home to help other people thrive so that they can have the same freedom that I have. I am committed to figuring this thing out, thriving whilst traveling, and I promise to share more about this with you as I go. I want to leave room for life's little pleasures, and I really mean life's little pleasures. I feel so blessed for this robust lifestyle of exploration and adventure that I have. Like I just mentioned, I travel a lot. I see a lot of different countries and landscapes. And so for me, when I'm at home, it is the little pleasures. It's time for writing poetry, time for cooking meals with friends, time for reading books, real books, like not iBooks and not audio books, but reading real books, and skateboarding in the afternoon and making love in the morning. And that's what I want to leave room for. And so all of this requires me to embrace a new and different scaffolding in my life. It requires me to posture myself. And this brings us back to the first point. This requires me to have a sovereign relationship with time and technology, because if I don't, all of those beautiful things that I just mentioned are at risk of not being breathed into or not breathing life into me. It all comes down to time, technology, my relationship to those things. And am I making my connection to my heart, my being, my soul, my creation more important than those things? So as it comes to the end of 2019, there is a little intention that I am setting for myself and my team. And it comes back to the generosity that I like to offer myself at that time of year. I really want to have December off. I want to have the most of the month of December off to potently close off the year and attune to the coming one. And I know that that sounds crazy, but hey, look, I reckon that if I can give 1 month of my time and my attention to celebrating and forecasting the previous 11 months and the next 11 months, I think that's a pretty good return on investment. So that month would include reflecting and celebrating, releasing that which we know has become heavy for us or non-serving. It requires scripting future memories. I'm really big on scripting. My sis, Peter Kelly, taught me all about this. I will share with you scripts that I have written at some point in the future. And I say future memories, that's the term that I give it. I don't talk about visualization. I talk about future memories. They're memories that are out there. You need to start remembering them now so that when you're in that moment of creation and when you're in that moment of receiving them, they feel familiar to you and they remind you that you've created them, right? December would involve cleaning up and decluttering everything. And I mean everything. Every single little corner of everything, every folder on my computer, every corner in my cupboard, every item of clothing, everything. It would include attuning to my soul and the experiences and wild adventures she wants to have, attuning to my business and what's coming through. And that will inform me on whether I need to adjust any of my values or my rituals or my practices. It would include consciously gifting, which is something that up until now I haven't really been into, but this year I'm changing my tune on this. I've always been of the tune of don't gift things, you know, just gift time. But I want to play with what it would feel like to tune into someone I love and offer them a gift, a conscious gift that they could enjoy and cherish. It would include spending grounded and present time with people I cherish, being largely offline and off social, and all of this will ensure that I can enter the new year feeling the full effects of that portal. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but suddenly it's January 1, then January 3, and then January 7, and whoa, we're into it again, particularly those of you who have a doTERRA business where it's a month by month cycle. It's crazy. So for me, I think, you know, watch this space. I'm planning to have a really beautiful, nourishing December, which will create beauty in 2020. We're getting to the end of this episode now, but I'll finish off here by saying there are some feelings and mantras or words that I have anchored into that will be my little compasses in 2019. And some of them you would have heard. My girl Ange Peters has a beautiful program called, well, it's called the Beautiful Life Lab. I really suggest you check it out. If what I'm saying to you today around organization and basically sovereignty when it comes to time and technology and creative process, it's a really great program that you can run through. She teaches you how to basically claim your agency over these things so that you're back in a state of deep work and deep flow, rather than constantly being haunted by your own distraction. Ange introduced me to this beautiful word, eudaimonia. And I've Googled it and I've researched it, and it can mean any number of things. It can mean the state of deep presence and flow when you are doing work that you love. I've seen it been defined as lit, hashtag lit, or human flourishing. And so I have brought all of those little examples into my mind and jumbled them up. And to me, eudaimonia, that state of being in non-distracted, fully devoted, creative flow, where there is nowhere else to be and nothing to do and no app to open and no email to read. And there is nothing to do but to be in the miracle of the collaboration that is the creative process. Eudaimonia. The next word is hygge. I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly. Recently learned about this awesome word, hygge. It is a Danish and Norwegian way of life, hygge. To me, it's another word for cozy. And I've seen it being described as creating intimate moments or a hot cup of cocoa by the fire. And really, it is a way of being in which your life feels lush, generous, where your environment feels beauteous. And you can achieve that through the way that you relate, the way that you decorate your home, the way you cook or present a meal, the textures that you put on your skin, you know, the fabric that you put on your skin. It could be an essential oil that you inhale. It's multi-sensory to me. Hygge reminds me that even though I live on the Gold Coast of Australia, to live a cozy life. Cozy is a feeling in my body. That's what I'm committed to. Number three is to explore the edges now. Explore the edges in 2019. In 2018, I got in the arena and I did some hard stuff. And I spent a good chunk of that in survival, you know. And this year, I'm like, I want to explore the edges. Like, how deep and how high can I take my Rebels of Light when we launch? How many people can we explore? Can we free financially through the business model of doTERRA? How much can I get into this body? How sensual can this body become? How intimate can my relationship with my soul be? What is possible? What is possible this year? What is possible now that I am in thriving, you know, now that survival mode is for the most part a speck in my rearview mirror? What is possible now? And number four, rise in love. Rise in love. My beautiful friend Vanessa reminds me that it is not falling in love. It is rising in love. And I'm not going to say too much on that topic other than that I am committed to, with courage, rising in love, rising in devotion, rising in union. Mm-hmm. So remember, my friends, it is not the year that defines you. It is you that defines the year. And to be in a sovereign relationship with time is to know that we can be in right relationship with our life, the seasons, the cycles of our lives. You decide. You decide what matters to you. Your hands are dripping with the you that you decide. What are you pulling up out of yourself this year? What are you offering up to the world? Show us. Show us. That sounds like bliss to me. The 2019 experience of Rebels of Light is finally here. And she is so much more than a mentoring program. She is a way of being, a full-bodied, fully breathing code for living a truly powerful life, which has room for deep feeling, healing, and freedom. Through a combination of subtle and sensational stillness practices, monthly mentoring, group discussions, guest teachers, and weekly dares, a container will be created for you to alchemize your life like never before. She awaits your participation with anticipation, as I do. So head on over to tarabliss.com.au to reignite that rebellion within you. Friends, thank you so much for being here and tuning in today. I appreciate your presence like you simply wouldn't believe. If you found value in today's podcast, please subscribe on iTunes and share this episode on your social feed of choice. Instagram is my digital playground, and you can tag me there at @Tara_bliss. If you're feeling particularly generous, leaving a review on iTunes will help get these sounds into even more eardrums. Thank you so much in advance for that. For episode show notes, resources, and updates on what I have on offer for you, jump on over to tarabliss.com.au/episode1. That's episode the number one. And subscribe to my notes straight to your inbox. Have a beautiful moment right here, right now. Bye-bye now.